Blog Talk Radio.
His grace, his mercy, his goodness, and his kindness towards each and every one of us. Morning by morning, new mercies we see. Hallelujah, and thank you, Jesus, for your grace. Thank you, Jesus, for your mercy. Thank you, Jesus, for your kindness and hope in a future and a new day. Hallelujah. And the word that God gave me this morning, it's coming out of Psalm 143, and it is this: my soul longs for you like a thirsty land. Hallelujah. My soul longs for you like a thirsty land. And that is God. We have to long for him like a thirsty land. We got to want to be better, do better, and be in his presence. For the Lord is our water. Hallelujah. He is our strength. He is our absolute and everything. Thanking God this morning for his marvelous word. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning, grateful, thankful, and truly blessed to be your children, Lord God, seeking you, wanting to be with you, wanting to be more like you. For there is none like you, God. And so we thank you, Lord, for everything. You woke us up. You gave us a pip in our step. And Lord, you gave us a do-over. So Father God, I ask you to continue watching over your children. Continue blessing those that are sick and shut in. Those that may not be able to walk. Those that may not be able to talk. Those that may not be able to see. But those that will be willing to hear your word, please watch over them. Watch over all your children, Lord God. For we come to you, Lord God, with faith, with hope in the future, and looking to you, Lord God, to give us water for our thirsty souls. In the name of Christ Jesus, Lord God, I ask you to please increase as I decrease, as the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, I pray that they are acceptable in your sight. For you, Father God, are always my strength. And I thank you for being my Redeemer. Again, in the name of the matchless Savior, Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. And we are coming out of Amos. This is our last day in Amos. And tomorrow we'll be starting in Obadiah. And Obadiah will be in Obadiah, and we will probably, I believe, start Jonah also on tomorrow. I know Obadiah for sure. Yes, we'll be also starting in Jonah on tomorrow as well. And we know Jonah was something else. That's all I can say. He was a reluctant prophet. Did not want to do what thus says the Lord. So we'll be in Jonah, Obadiah, Jonah, and Micah on tomorrow, God willing. Today, let us finish up Amos. And it says this, thus says the Lord God, thus the Lord God, show me, behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what do you see? So I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then the Lord said to me, the end has come upon my people Israel. I will not pass by them anymore. And the songs of the temple shall be wailing in that day, says the Lord God. Many dead bodies everywhere. They shall be thrown out in silence. Hear this, you who swallow up the needy and make the poor of the land fail, saying, when will the new moon be passed, that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath, that we may trade wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel large, falsifying the scales by deceit, that we may buy the poor for silver, and the needy for a pair of sandals, even sell the bad wheat. The Lord has shown by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works. Shall the land not tremble for this, and everyone mourn who dwells in it? All of it shall swell like the river, heave and subside like the river of Egypt. And it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord God, that I will make the sun go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in broad daylight. I will turn your feast into mourning and all your songs into lamentations. I will bring sackcloth on every waist and baldness on every head. I will make it like mourning for an only son, and its end like the bitter day. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a famine, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. That's scary, that there will come a day where we will not be able to hear God's word. I'm going to read that again. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. That's a highlightable. That's something I don't want to hear. I don't ever not want to be able to hear or read God's word. But that's what the word of God, the Lord is saying, that there will come a day when we will not be able to hear the words of the Lord. And it says, they shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. In that day, the fair virgins and strong young men shall faint from thirst. Those who serve by the sin of Samaria will say, as their God lives, O Dan, and as the way of Beersheba lives, they shall fall and never rise again. I saw the Lord standing by the altar, and he said, strike the doorpost that the threshold may shake. and break them on the heads of them all. I will slay the last of them with the sword. He who flees from them shall not get away, and he who escapes from them shall not be delivered. Though they dig into hell, from there my hand shall take them. Though they climb up to heaven, from there I will bring them down. And though they hide themselves on top of Carmel, from there I will search and take them. Though they hide from me, from my sight at the bottom of the sea, from there I will command the serpent and it shall bite them. Though they go into a captivity before their enemies, from there I will command the sword and it shall slay them. I will set my eyes on them for harm and not for good. The Lord God of hosts, he who touches the earth and it melts, and all who dwell there mourn, all of it shall swell like the river, and the subside like the river of Egypt. He who builds his layers in the sky and has founded his strata in the earth, who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out on the face of the land, the Lord is his name. Are you not like the people of Ethiopia to me, O children of Israel, says the Lord? Did I not bring up Israel from the land of Egypt, the Philistines from Kaphtor, and the Syrians from Kir? Behold, the eyes of the Lord God are on the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from the face of the earth. Yet I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, says the Lord. For surely I will command and will shift the house of Israel among all nations, as grain is shifted in the sea. Yet not the smallest grain shall fall to the ground. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, who say that calamity shall not overtake nor confront us. On that day I will rise up the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and repair its damage. I will raise up its ruins and rebuild it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who does this thing. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes him who sows seed. The mountain shall drip with sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it. I will bring back the captives of my people Israel. They shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink wine from them. They shall also make gardens and eat fruit from them. I will plant them in their land, and no longer shall they be pulled up from the land I have given them, says the Lord your God. And life lessons from chapter 8 and chapter 9 of Amos is this. In Amos 8 and 5 it says, when will the new moon be passed, that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath that we may trade wheat? Something has gone seriously wrong in our hearts when we see God, commandment, and regular corporate worship as a burden to get through rather than a privilege to savor and enjoy. Did you catch that? I'm going to read that again, because we got folks, and, you know, there have been times I'm just going to call it straight, that I've even had a moment, and then I had to repent and say, Lord, forgive me. I look forward to going to your house. You know, we got to look forward to going into the house of the Lord. We got to look forward in going to Sunday school. Look forward going to church. Look forward going to prayer service. Look forward going to Bible study. Look forward going into the house of God. Because he said it. It says, when will the new moon be passed that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath that we may trade wheat? Oh, here we go again. Can't do anything. And I love what Dr. Stanley says, because it is right on point. Something has gone seriously wrong in our hearts when we see God's commandment and regular corporate worship as a burden to get through rather than a privilege to savor and enjoy. Because I'm going to tell you, my our church services have been awesome. They have been wonderful. And I have been so excited to get to church. It is, you know, I get upset when I'm running behind and can't make Sunday school because I love Sunday school. But I have not been able to go lately because I've just been discombobulated. And I know that it's nothing but a trick of the enemy, but the devil is a lie. I will be in Sunday school next year. I will be in Sunday school hopefully this Sunday because it's important to go to Sunday school. It's important to be in the house of God. Amos 8 and 11, I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but a hearing of the word of the Lord. From the time of the prophet Malachi to the time of John the Baptist, a period of almost 500 years, this drought of God's words was withered. This drought of God's word withered the land. Let us daily feast on God's word and so avoid a familiar drought in our souls. You think that through. From Malachi to John the Baptist, 500 years, there was not a prophet speaking to the people of God. The word of God became something that you thirst for. And this is Amos 9 and 2. Though they climb up to heaven, from there I will bring them down. No one can prevent the Lord from doing all he has decided to do, whether for judgment or blessing. Since we serve a sovereign God, we should never think of ourselves as victims of our circumstances. Don't let your past dictate your future. You are not a victim. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And, you know, God speaks that to us all. We got to believe it, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made by God. Thanking him today for his grace and for his mercy. Thank you, Lord. Psalms 143. Verses 1 through 6, a psalm of David. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In your faithfulness, answer me. Your righteousness, do not enter into judgment with your servant. For in your sight, no one living is righteous. For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me dwell in darkness, like those who have long been dead. Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is distressed. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your works. I muse on the work of your hands. I spread out my hands to you. My soul longs for you like a thirsty land. Selah, my soul longs for you like a thirsty land, oh God. We want God to fill us up with living water, fill us up with his Holy Spirit, fill us up, Lord. My soul thirsts. My soul thirsts. My soul longs for you like a thirsty land. What a mighty God we serve. Proverbs chapter 30. We are getting into that Proverbs woman today. And it says this, the words of Agar, the son of Tekoa, his utterance, this man, declared to Ithiel and Uncal, surely I am more stupid than any man and do not have the understanding of a man. I neither learned wisdom nor have knowledge of the Holy One who has descended into heaven or descended, who has gathered the wind in his fist, who has bought the waters in a garment, who has bound, the waters in a garment, who has established his name, and what is his son's name, if you know, I love that line, if you know, what is his son's name, if you know, and we know. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. And every word of God is pure. He is the shield to those who put their trust in him. He is the shield of those who put their trust in him. And this is a word we need to get. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. Two things I request of you, deprive me not before I die. Remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. Wow, what a word this morning. What a word. The word of the Lord is rich. It is rich. I'm sorry, and I did say Proverbs woman. It's not until next week and week after next that we will get into that chapter. Let us get into our book of Revelation's word. And all I can say is, wow. Again, wow. This word is filling me up. So if I get a little full, don't talk about me. Just get full with me. Because there is nothing in this world like the book of Revelations. When I tell you these prophets did not play, they did not play. John didn't play. Amos didn't play. Daniel didn't play. Jeremiah didn't play. Isaiah and Ezekiel, none of them played. Elisha didn't play. Prophets were of God, and God used them in mighty, 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 mighty ways. And we got to remember who the Father is and that we are loved. And this is what Revelation chapter 6 says this morning. Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him. And he went out conquering and to conquer. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, come and see. Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, that people should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. Peace. We have conquering. Now we have peace being taken. The white horse is a conqueror. The red horse takes away peace, that people should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. We're talking the four horsemen of the apocalypse. It says, and when he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come and see. So I looked, and behold, a black horse. And he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine. Then he opened the fourth seal. I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, come and see. So I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was steps. And Hades followed with him, and power was given to them over the fourth, over a fourth of the earth, to kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. Get down. A fourth of the earth will go through some horrible stuff. And all you can do is pray, Lord, don't let me be in that fourth. When the time comes, don't let me even be here, God. And don't let my children or my children's children be here either, God. And it goes on to say, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? When a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. Can you hear, folks, talking about the blood moon, you know, because they all call it an eclipsing moon, a blood moon. But it doesn't follow what the word says. You know, there's going to be blood moons. There have been more in the last decade than in any time in millennia. There's been a lot of them. But they didn't fit the whole word, which says, and that's why we got to read the word ourselves. It says, I looked when he opened the sixth seal. The sixth seal has not been opened. Understand that, because all these other things haven't happened yet. Some, is, we think we have, it's happening now. We got plagues. We got folks murdering each other in the streets. We got folks that are supposed to serve and protect also in the midst of killing folks that they shouldn't be killing. We got all kind of stuff going on, and it feels like we're in this time, but we will know it. We will know those four horses. We will know the white horse. We will know that horse. We will know it. We will know the conquering and the conqueror. We will know the fiery red horse when peace is gone on the earth. It's not gone yet. We will know when folks are just killing each other willy-nilly. We feel like it every time you turn on the television. There's school shootings as if that's a regular thing. Yesterday was the ninth year of Sandy Hook, where a young man went in and killed babies. We're talking 5 and 6 years old. And he killed his mother. 9 years ago, you would have thought that this school shooting thing would have been done with, that laws would have been made to keep children from getting their hands on guns to kill other children, but it hasn't happened. 9 years ago yesterday, babies died in school, which is supposed to be the safest place for our children. But it's still not the fiery red horse. And when we talk about that black horse who had a pair of scales in his hands, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quarter of wheat for a denarius. In other words, famine is coming. Famine. And those that have will weigh the scales against those that don't. And then that last creature is death, followed by the Antichrist. We need to understand the word of God so we don't fall for the foolishness of those that are saying we are in it right now. We are going, everything's going. Yes, we are in a type. But believe me, we will know when we are in Revelations. When we are in full scale Revelations, what has happened? We've already know it's not happening until we see Jesus. It's not happening until he comes back in a cloud. We may go through all of these things that the white horse represents. We might go through things that the red horse represents. We may go through things that the black horse represents. We may go through things that the pale horse represents. And we may have all kinds of spirits of Antichrist that come in. We're living in some crazy times where lies are perceived as truth and news is perceived as fake. And everything is all upside down and kids are killing each other because he looked at me wrong. He said something about me on Facebook. She said something about me on Instagram. I don't like the way she thinks she's cute. I'm get her. He thinks he's all that. He was bullying me, so I'm going to kill him. All that stuff is going on right now. And so, yes, I almost feel myself like, Lord, are we living in this time of the word? Are we in a revelation time? And then the Lord showed us that we have lived in many revelation times. Ask the Jews who died during the Holocaust if they were living in a revelation time. Ask African Americans who were enslaved for over 400 years if they were living in a revelation time. Ask the Irish who came because of famine if they were living in a revelation time. Ask God's children who suffered so much under the Romans if they were not living in a revelation time. And ask many of us now who are living through coronavirus, living through insurgency and folks trying to take what's not theirs, if we're not living in a revelation time. Ask the people of Mayfield and Western Kentucky and Southern Illinois and Tennessee and Indiana who were affected by the tornadoes on last week if they are not living in Revelation time. And the wind that was blowing through where I live last night, make you wonder, am I getting ready to go through some stuff? Because the wind was blowing high and everywhere. No man knows the day or the hour. But we all need to look up and understand that when it comes to that blood moon, it says this, and how you will know. It says, I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake. And I'm sure that the people of Haiti and Puerto Rico thought that they were in the sixth seal when the earth shook on those islands. And some still haven't recovered for them. I looked when he opened the sixth seal. Behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late fig when it is shaken by a mighty wind. In other words, we're going to get hit by space debris. When we start seeing the debris coming out of space, we know, Lord help us. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. That's the dinosaur. What happened? Look at the Grand Canyon and you'll see what happened the last time there was an extinction effect on this planet. And it talks about it again, and it says, and the kings of the earth, the great men and the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains. And understand, there are places right now all over this country where there are caves that are for a time like this. But most of us will not be able to get in because we will not have the money for it. What is saying, the kings of the earth and great men, the rich men and the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man. That's those that could get in. Hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Who will be able to stand in the last days? For you will know. You will know. Why will you know? Because you've read the word of God. And you know not to fall for the lies and the deceit of those that would try to profit off of the word of God. That would try to use God's word to manipulate those that don't know it. Who will lie, who will cheat, who will steal, claiming God's word. How many times have groups of people died because of prophet liars and those trying to make a buck? Whole congregations have committed suicide because they thought that this time had come. We need to understand God will let his people know. All we have to do is live right and do right every day. Not because the four horsemen are coming. Not because the skies are falling. But because we love God. We worship him. We get excited about going to his house. We get excited about being worshipers and people of God. And as we continue in this book, Revelation 6 and 4, it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth that people should kill one another. And this is what Dr. Stanley says, and it says the staggering violence that the beast unleashes on the earth may make it seem as though God has lost control. But in fact, God is the one who grants him the power to do his wicked work. God still rules. Never get it twisted. Even when you're going through your ugly in life, even when you're going through your bad in life, even when you're going through the good in life, understand that God is in control. And all he's asking of us is faith. Faith that he will bring you through it. For every storm we go through, God is on the other end, guiding us with his light and showing us where to go. Don't stop and stay in the storm. Keep moving forward until you get to the other side with faith. That's substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Lord, I know I'm going through my storm.
storm, but I know that you are on the other side. I'm going to keep moving. I'm not going to stop. And I learned that from my late husband when we would be traveling and we would run into storms. You see cars pulling over, and he'd keep going slow and steady. Lights on, flashing. Just keep it moving. And I'd say, should we pull over? And he said, uh-uh. We keep moving forward, he said, because when you keep going, eventually you're going to run out of this storm. And we would just chug along, cars following trucks because the trucks were bigger. And you'd follow them instead of getting beside them, because when you're beside them, you can't see anything. But when you're behind them, you can see all their lights. And you see the lights behind you. And you all put your flashing lights on and just keep moving forward. And when you keep moving forward, eventually, you start to see a little bit of light. And then you keep moving forward, and eventually, you see more light. And you keep moving forward until eventually, you are out of the storm. And sometimes the storm is chasing you, but you still keep moving forward, because eventually, the storm is not going to follow you anymore. You will be in the light, and you will see God's rainbow. Just keep moving forward. Don't stop. Don't get stagnant. Don't say, well, I guess I'll just settle for this. No, get up, settle, move forward out of the storms of life and watch God give you your rainbow. Revelation 6 and 9, I saw under the altar the souls of those who have been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. God's people, godly people have always died for the faith. From Abel in Genesis 4 and 8 at the beginning to Antipas, Revelations 2 and 13. And these unnamed martyrs at the end of time, God sometimes requires that his people sacrifice their lives for him. Understand, we are God's children. We are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. And when God calls you, will you answer? Because there are those that hate us because of our faith. There are those that hate us because of our belief in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There are those that hate us and don't have a problem coming into the house of God and killing us. But for God, we live, and God, we die. We all understand that. We've seen it play out on television. We've heard it in the news that based on race and on color and on all kinds of stupid things, folks have died. Young men walked into an AME church and killed people doing Bible study, prayer meeting, really, because they had even prayed over him. They had prayed. He had sat through the whole thing. Got prayed for and then murdered people. And then when he was picked up by the police, he wasn't shot down in the street for having a cell phone. He was taken to Burger King. We got to understand everything is not fair. Life is not fair. But you take every day as if it's a new day. You pray. You get on your knees. You give God grace. You give God praise because God has given you life. Exceeding and abundant life. And just always in your heart and mind, remember that it's in him we live, we move, and have our being. Not in ourselves. We are nothing without God. We're like filthy rags. We've got to have him in our life. We've got to trust him with every part of our being. Keep God first in everything you do, and watch him work in your life. Praise the name of the Lord every day. Give him glory every day. Trust in him every day. Thank you, Father God, for your grace and your mercy, your love and your kindness. Thank you. And our last life lessons and example is this. Set apart for victory, Revelation 6, the four horsemen of the apocalypse, creatures that characterize the wrath of God. The thought of them inspire fear and trembling. The white horse conquers, taking power from all on the earth. The red horse brings war, destroying all hope of peace. The black horse ushers in famine, so dreadful that bread is rationed out on his terrible scales. The ashen horse, or the pale horse, comes to bring death and pestilence, tearing life away from the people left on earth. Revelation 6 depicts the horrors that the unbelieving world will face when learning of the judgment. The kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves and in the rocks of the mountain and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. However, whereas the pagan are deprived of all their hope, the saints are set apart. Revelation 6 and 11 says, then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. Even though every aspect of worldly security is stripped from the earth, as a believer you are clothed with the heavenly security of Christ. Hallelujah. You will never lack hope because you will never have to fear the presence of the King upon his throne. You have been clothed with God's promise, so rejoice in your confidence and security. For you are set apart. You are set apart. Why? Because you are children of God. My soul longs for you like thirsty land. We got to have a longing for God every day in our spirit. Like we thirst for water, we got to thirst for God. Hallelujah. Revelation 6 and 17. And it says, the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Judgment finally comes when repentance doesn't. Did you hear that? Judgment finally comes when repentance doesn't. Note that it is the ungodly who make this statement. They recognize God's hand and yet they refuse to repent. Better to kneel in repentance than fall in judgment. And that is our word this morning. If there's anyone that would like to speak, push the number 1 on your phone or dial 213-943-3597, and your lines will be open. We have a few more minutes. We have a word, as always, from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning, from Carolyn's Gift. And the word for today is this. Good morning. Sometimes you don't have what you want, but it doesn't mean you can never have it. Everything in the right time, in God's time. Have a thankful Thursday. Wow. Right on point. Right on point. Has no idea, and I say this every day, Sister Carolyn does not know what God has given me in the Word to teach or to read or to preach. She doesn't have any idea. But God always gives her the right word for the lesson. Every day. And today's lesson, sometimes you don't have what you want. Come on now. But it doesn't mean you can never have it. Sometimes we are going through our storms. We are going through those things in life where we can't have what we want. Whew. It doesn't mean you're never going to get it. It means that you're not getting it right now. And there are many that are craving the end times, that are craving going through. They just want it. But the question is, are they thirsty for God? Or are they just wanting to see the earth be done with? We got to understand, don't think you're going to get your little spaceship and you're going to build your little place on the moon. Are you going to build your little space station out in the middle of space? And you think you're going to be safe because you got a whole bunch of money and you can build it and you can pay the millions of dollars to be on the space station or to be on the moon or be on whatever. You know, you got all of the group trying to get to Mars so they can get on Mars and build on Mars and have their own little places. Understand. Watch sci-fi and you will see how folks think. Because they think they can get away from the wrath of God. Not going to happen. If God hits this planet with some space rocks, you better believe that he's going to hit the moon. He's going to hit Mars. He's going to hit the space stations. He's going to hit everything he wants to hit. You cannot run from God. And it don't matter how much money you have. You still can't buy your way into heaven. And it says this, and I'm saying Sister Carolyn's word one more time, so it gets into your heart. Sometimes you don't have what you want, but it doesn't mean you can never have it. Everything will take place in the right time, in God's time. Have a thankful Thursday, family, knowing that you are covered by the blood of Christ Jesus. From the crowns of your heads to the soles of your feet, you belong to the one and only one, which is Jehovah, which is the Christ and Messiah, which is the Holy Spirit. For they are one, and they love us. He loves us. Our Daddy God loves us. And all he asks of us is to love ourselves, each other. Keep trusting God, family. And know how important you are to the one and only God who created the heavens and the earth and everything therein. And who we should thirst for. We should thirst for God. Thirst for that living water. Thirst for salvation. And thank God every day for giving you a new day and an opportunity to be better today than you were yesterday. That is all I have this morning. Again, if there's anyone that God has put a word in your heart to speak, push the number 1 on your phone or dial 213-943-3597 and we have a caller.
Good morning.
Caller, Evangelist, good morning. Your line is open.
Yes. I just wanted to say on this morning that I'm truly grateful to be able to see what I can see. I just want to tell the world that is listening and may not understand what I'm getting ready to speak about is that my soul cries out for souls that take more time in reading things on the phone, in the newspaper, and not pick up the good book, the Holy Bible, the Word of God, the basic instruction before leaving earth. Because if you have complete sight and vision to read the Word of God, which is instruction, which is life, take that time with God and read his word. Because there's times when I just say, I thank you, Jesus, for allowing me to read just a verse. Some days I'm not able to read a verse. 4 years ago, I was able to read the word from 8 o'clock to 3 o'clock. And then when my vision had a situation, I wasn't even able to see the word on the pages of the Word of God. The pages looked all white to me. So take that time to read the Word of God and get your spirit fed and that knowledge and wisdom and understanding to know who God is, because he truly loves you. Have that hunger and thirst as my sister in Christ has spoken unto you. Have that hunger and thirst and learn to accept change, because I had to accept a lot of changes. Even in moving to Wichita, I had to learn to accept some changes, because my granddaughter, she doesn't want to accept where we attend. She wants to be at the table. So as she said, sometimes we have to accept change. But God knows what's Amen. Best for us. Have a blessed Amen. Day. I love y'all. Amen.
We love you too. And for those that are just joining us, this is Evangelist Shannon. And she is a powerful evangelist. She is a woman of God. And she has been called to a new assignment. And it is not easy to pack up and move from one state to another, because you're told to by God. So I ask each of you, please keep her in her ministry in your prayers. Sis, would you please give the name of your ministry to all those so they know what they're praying for?
Pathway to Healing. I evangelize to the homeless, the natural feeding, as well as the spiritual, and also prayer. Being led by the Holy Spirit, by the voice Amen. Of God at his time and season.
Pathway to Healing. So pray for Pathway to Healing Ministries for my sister in Christ. And I'm going to say she also sends daily breads to prisons, to those that are needing a word from God. God puts a person on her heart, and she sends word to prisoners, setting captives free from their spiritual bondage. So keep our sister in Christ in your prayers. Keep our granddaughter in your prayers as they both transition to new assignments. Thanking God for each and every one of you as always. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other, in the precious and holy name of our Savior Christ Jesus. Pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day in the Lord. And just know, when your soul is thirsting, whew, like a thirsty land for God, pick up your word and read it. Because that means your soul is needing a word from God. And if you can't read it, call this number. We are here Sunday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m., God willing. So please get a word in every day that you can, because then you will know when God is coming, because you have read his word and it has told you to look up. Thank you so much, family. Have a blessed day, because this girl's got to go to work. Love y'all. Be blessed. It's a wrap.